Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I think you'll all agree with me that our generation is a generation that has lived with more religious traditions than any generation previous to us. And what that means is that when I look at my neighbor, I see that, for example, one of my neighbors is Hindu, another of my neighbors is Christian, another of my neighbors, for example, may be Jewish, another of my neighbors may be Buddhist, and I may have Muslim neighbors as well. Therefore, I live in a religiously pluralistic society, and a lot of the members of those traditions have a lot of beliefs that are in common with one another. As in, even when I talk to my Hindu brethren, they'll tell me that they believe in one God. Or if I speak, for example, to my Jewish and Christian brethren, they'll tell me about prophets of God that I believe in as well. And even if I speak to my Buddhist friends, they'll mention to me certain texts where the proverbs in those texts are similar to something I may find within Islamic literature. Therefore, I live in a religiously pluralistic society, which on the one level of its pluralism, I find that people have the right to safely worship what they worship in this country or in other countries that I visited. For example, I remember when I lectured in Vancouver in Canada, the whole road virtually had a place of worship for each of the faiths. Social pluralism would mean that everybody has the right to worship in their own way, in their own centers of worship. That we all agree with. Religious pluralism comes from the notion and the question that don't all of these paths all have the same origin? These religions, these spiritualities, these philosophies all share a single metaphysical origin. And so therefore, what we have today is simply labels. You are a Hindu, you are a Sikh, you are a Buddhist. But ultimately, what are you? You are a human who is seeking a spiritual path to realize their origin, to realize their essence, to understand their origin and to understand their essence. Some attribute a saying to Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he is meant to have said, the number of paths to God are the number of breaths that we breathe. There are many paths. If I was born in a certain part of India, I might have been Hindu. And if I was born in a certain part of China, I may not even have believed in a God. If I was born in another part of the world, I may have been Jewish, I may have been Christian. But ultimately, although there have been differing opinions about whether I should follow Buddha or Confucius or Krishna or Moses or Jesus or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, ultimately these are all paths to one God. What we call that God, whether we call that God with our different names, where some may have called Allah, others may have called Dios, others may have come with different names for God, ultimately, all of these philosophies and spiritualities are traditions that are sharing a single metaphysical origin from which all these other esoteric and exoteric doctrines then develop. Because we know that in all of these religions, there's an esoteric and an exoteric. There are discussions in these religions which are about spirituality and mysticism. There are discussions in these religions which are related to theology and law. But ultimately, they're all heading to the same path. So whether you are Hindu, you are Christian, you are Jewish, ultimately we share one metaphysical single origin. And that's where you find, if you look online at perennial philosophy, for example, you'll find that the perennial philosophers would have elaborated on this. Not only philosophers like Hick, but philosophers within the perennial school, where you read the works of Huxley or you read the works of Sean, and you'll find that there is discussion that these labels that we have today, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, ultimately, these are labels that we inherited depending on particular cultural contexts. Ultimately, we are all children of Adam, alayhi salam, and we are all looking to understand the meaning of the universe, the origin of the universe, and our place within the universe. This meant that some Muslims, when they looked at religious pluralism in the Quran, they said that if you look within the Quran, Allah acknowledges Jewish people in the Quran, true? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges Christians in the Quran, do you agree? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even acknowledges that there are parts of the world where he sent prophets that we don't even know about. Maybe there are prophets who have gone to China. There are prophets who have gone to India. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore they say in the Quran, highlights that it's not just about you being a Muslim. If you're a Jewish person but a good human being, you're Christian but you're a good human being, you may be of a Buddhist origin but you're a good human being, at the end of the day, this is what counts, not the label you got from your parents. Then there are others who said that no, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that there is a recognition of the faiths, but that only Muslims receive salvation and that nobody else will. Therefore, this discussion of religious pluralism in the Quran is a discussion very much related to all of us viewers, as well as those sitting here. Because of all of our viewers who are watching online, they may live in a certain area where they've met somebody who's Sikh, who's more trustworthy than a Muslim. You may have met somebody Jewish who has not conned you the way your own Muslim has conned you. Now, how is it the case that somebody who's a good human being like this, who has never harmed you, been neighbors with each other for so long, how does it reach a stage where I, because I believe in Islam, receive salvation and they do not receive? How is it the case that God only cares about me when I'm born into Islam? How about those who are born into Judaism, born into Christianity, born into other paths? So therefore, religious pluralism in the Quran seeks to examine the debates as to whether God acknowledges that all of us are heading in the same direction with one metaphysical origin, and the doctrines that we have today are just purely labels? Or is it that there is a stress that if Islam has reached you, then you cannot reject what's reached you? So let's look within the Quran and see this discussion of religious pluralism. The first verse I'm going to start with is a surprising one. Because for those who believe that every path is a path to God, forget the labels, it's all about the humanity. Muslim, Christian, Jewish, one of the verses that they use as an argument is in Surah 3, verse 19 of the Quran. If the viewers can begin with me, we're going to be going through many verses, my dear brethren, at home today. So let's start with Surah 3, verse number 19. Now this verse, when you look at it, you're wondering, why would someone who believes in religious pluralism and that all paths lead to God, and that all paths there is a sense of salvation, when you look at this verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna deena inda Allahil Islam, verily the religion with God is Islam. Someone's like, Sayyidina, hold on, You said that this group of people believe that every path leads to God. This ayah says what? Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-what? Al-Yahud. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Masih. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Buddha. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Hindus. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Sikh. It says inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. Verily, the religion with Allah is Islam. I ask you a question. Said Muhsin, help me on this. Would there be a difference with Islam if it was in the sense of a verb? When you say inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam, would it be a difference? In which way would it be a difference? Verily, the religion with Allah, if it's a verb, it must mean an action. So therefore, what would it mean in this context? Which Islam in English is normally what? Islam in English, if you were just to translate Islam in English, how would people normally translate Islam in English? Which word beginning with S is normally the word which translates Islam in English? Ahsant Yasif, submission. Verily, the religion with Allah in Adina and Allah al-Islam, the first group who said you don't need these labels, Islam, Jewish, Christian, all of these are one path to God. We looked at it and we said what? They looked at this verse and they said, Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam, not Islam in the noun, Islam the verb. Because someone Jewish submits to God, don't they? You see, you can either be Muslim, name of your religion, or Muslim means you submit to your religion. Do you agree? As Imam Ali alayhi salam would say, Al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam is to submit. Wa taslim huwa al-yaqeen. And submission will bring you yaqeen, certainty. If I look at Muhammad now, I say to Muhammad, what is your religion? He'll say to me, Muslim. Because the word Islam, he uses it as a noun. This group said, why does it have to be in the noun? Maybe this is Islam, the verb. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. Verily, the religion that is with Allah is what? Is the act of submission. If you are somebody who's a Hindu, who's submitting to Allah, then you are, in reality, someone who's doing taslim. If you're a Jewish person or Christian, and you're submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what are you doing? You're doing the act of submission. So firstly, the group who believed that all paths lead to God and we all come one single metaphysical origin, they said, look in the Quran. We said, what? They said, inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. Someone said, but inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam means only Islam is going towards God. So no, not Islam the noun, rather Islam the verb. And then they showed another ayah, one of the most interesting and discussed ayahs in the Quran, Surah 2. Verse number 62 of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, go to Surah 2, verse 62 of the Quran. This ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, literally discusses a plurality of religion. Because single means what? What does single mean? One. Plural is what? More than. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, verse number 62, discusses a plurality of religion. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alladhina amanu. Verily those who believe, alhamdulillah, us, we are the mu'mineen. That's it. We're the only ones going to Jannah. If this ayah was, inna alladhina amanu wa'amilu salihat falahum ajrum anda rabbihim, we'd say, look, us Muslims, we are the mu'mineen. Yes? We would say, we're the only ones going to Jannah because this ayah says, inna alladhina amanu. But then after alladhina amanu, does Allah introduce us to a number of religious traditions? These religious traditions which Allah introduces us to, Yasir, do we know all of them or some of them? Inna alladhina amanu walladhina hadu. Hadu are who? Which religion is walladhina hadu? Hadu are the Jews. Al-Yahud. Yes? Inna alladhina hadu. There's different interpretations of had. Does it mean to incline, to move on, to repent from the word hudna? There's many different opinions. But we know them today as Yahud. Do you agree? When you ask any Muslim what is Jewish in Arabic, they would say Yahud. Okay. So here you have inna alladhina amanu. Walladhina hadu. And the Jews. When Nasara, who are the Nasara? Which religion is Nasara? Christianity. Why is it called Nasara? Jesus came from Nazareth. Nazareth. Jesus came from Nazareth. One opinion is that they are known as the Nasara because they are originally, because Jesus was originally from Nazareth. Of course, there is a mention of the Nazarenes in the discussions of Paul, and they used to also separate between the Jewish Christians and the Pauline Christians, with the Jewish Christians related to Nazareth. Nasara inna alladhina amanu walladhina hadu, those who believe, and the Jews. When Nasara and the Christians, second meaning of Nasara, I ask you, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi went to Medina, there were two groups with him. One was called the Muhajirun, the other were called the Ansar. Ansar means what? Those who helped him. Therefore, Nasara can also refer to the Christians who help, who aid the Holy Prophet. Yes? Holy Prophet Jesus. Inna alladhina amanu walladhina hadu, those who believe and those who are Jewish. When Nasara and those who are Christians. Wassabi'ina, who are they? Who are they? Every single viewer at home. I want every single viewer at home to focus for this one moment on me. This verse in the Quran is saying, verily those who believe, Jews, Christians, Sabi'a, who are they? Sabians? Who are the Sabi'a? We've just been introduced to a religion that many of us haven't got a clue about. The same way, by the way, many of us don't know what Buddhism teaches. I guarantee you many Muslims haven't got a clue what Hindus teach. There are many who don't know about the teachings of Confucius or anything to do with teachings of Tao. We are born into a religion believing that because we're born in, we're the only ones who will be saved. God here is discussing religions that I know and religions I've never heard of. Do you agree? Muhammad, you ever known who the Sabi'a are? Who's Sabi'a? Said Muhsin Sabi'a, Yasir Sabi'a, Hussein Sabi'a. I ask people, tell me who the Sabi'a are, because somehow they've got a mention in the Quran. And I, as a Muslim who believes that I fly the flag of Islam and I'm the only one who's going to be saved and there's only one path to God, but I'm seeing here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا. Yahud, okay, I know the Yahud. But I ask you, Ihsan, most Muslims, do they think Yahud have any chance of being in heaven? No. If you ask many Muslims, do you think any Christians will be in heaven? Who are these Sabi'a? Because if I'm not even believing that the Jewish or the Christian brethren are not going to make it into heaven, then who are these Sabi'a who are being discussed? Sabi'a clearly are a group of people who, when this surah was revealed, I ask you, which surah is the one I'm talking about at the moment? My dear brothers and sisters at home, Surah Al-Baqarah. What did we say about Surah Al-Baqarah? Which area was it revealed in? Mecca or Medina? It's revealed in, many of the verses are revealed in Medina. Somehow, although many of us don't have much information about the Sabi'a today, although I think there are parts of Iran and Iraq where the Sabi'a are a group of people who will always live near areas of water. So don't be surprised if you see them near Dijla or Furat, near the rivers Tigris or the river Euphrates, okay? Because amongst the beliefs, and please excuse me, my Sabian brothers and sisters who are watching, that I am ignorant on the deeper texts of your belief, but from what I've tried to read, you see the importance of admitting ignorance of another religion, because sometimes you may end up being arrogant against other religions, accusing them of things which they don't teach. I apologize to my Sabian brothers and sisters out there who may live in areas like Khuzestan, for example, where they have a community, I don't think there's more than 100,000 who are existing today in the world, 150,000. But the Sabians have a high reverence, if not respect, for who? John the Baptist, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. And if you respect Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, then he's called John the Baptist. What are you going to be around the most? Water. To the extent that when they get married, they are immersed in water. When they get married, the poor husband's already drowning. So, you found that these Sabians, As-Sabi'ah, were mentioned over here. Why? How would we know these Sabi'ah? Maybe in the travels of the Arabs, when they'd go past areas of Syria, for example, they may come across the Sabi'ah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا حسين, those who believe, and those who are Jewish, and those who are Christians, and those who are this group that many Muslims read the Quran, haven't got a clue who they are, but God seems to mention them. وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, whoever believes in God, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and the Day of Judgment, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and does good deeds, فَلَهُمْ, Allahu Akbar, wait, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, there is for them a reward with their Lord, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, and nor do they need to fear, وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor do they need to grieve. Hold on. I was taught from a young age, there's only one path to God, that's called Islam. Now I'm seeing those who believe, and those who are Jewish, those who are Christians, those who are Sabians, I don't have a clue who they are, and I'm a Muslim, and yet God seems to like them. Those who believe in God, and believe in the last day, the day of judgment, and they do good deeds, there is a reward with their Lord. They shouldn't fear, they shouldn't grieve. I thought only Islam. Has God in this verse said Jewish people cannot be happy on the Day of Judgment? I ask you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Those who believe in God. Do Jewish people believe in God? Yes. Do they believe in the Day of Judgment? Yes. Do you meet Jewish or Christian people who have done good deeds? Yes. صَابِئَة may even give me a hint that there may be people in our society, like in their society, who had a connection maybe to a particular prophetic figure, like Buddhism, maybe. Sikhism may be closer in its oneness of God beliefs than Hinduism. But these all originally were believers in one God. And it could be, we cannot say for certain, but it could be someone like Buddha, could be, as some scholars have tried to find different ways of saying whether Buddha was Khidr alayhi salam, or whether Buddha came to a certain group of people for a certain time. The Quran in this verse says that the variety of your traditions is not what you should focus on. Rather, focus on believing in Allah, believing in the Day of Judgment, doing good deeds, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you're of any of the faith like the Sabians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, what? وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They shouldn't fear, nor should they grieve. Further than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tries to show me that we, as human beings, are one ummah. How could you say only one group of people from that whole community will be going to heaven? If you look in Surah 21, my dear brothers and sisters at home, I think in Surah 21, about verse number 92, if I remember rightly, yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. Sounds like an announcement in an Arab country before a war. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Verily, this ummah of yours is one group, And I am your Lord, therefore worship me. That means if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying all of you are one ummah, yes? That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that all of you are one community. Maybe in perennial philosophy, the likes of Sean, Huxley, Adler, and others, when they were discussing, maybe they had a point. Allah says, your ummah is one ummah. Did he say, just Muslim? No. Ummatukum ummatan? What? One ummah. If I'm living here, my one ummah, Jewish neighbor, Hindu neighbor, Christian neighbor, Sikh neighbor, the Quran had said this. Even if we look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of the beauty of other religions. This is all the arguments of those who say that religious pluralism is espoused clearly in the Quran. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim or not. In Surah 42 of the Quran, verse number 42:13. Look at Surah 42 of the Quran, verse number 13. God talks about the fact that Sharia had gone to other religions, not just you. You got the Quran, okay, but other religions didn't get their books. In Surah 42, verse number 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he tell us? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Shara'a lakum min ad-deen ma wassa bihi Nuhan. والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. God has prescribed for you the religion, and he ordained unto Noah, and that which was revealed to Abraham, Moses, Jesus, establish religion, and do not divide amongst each other. Therefore, when I see an ayah like this, it means God says those who were with Noah, those who believe in Abraham and Moses and Jesus, we had prescribed a path for all of them. The person who believes in Moses, he's believing in a prophet of God. The person who believes in Jesus, the person who believes in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, those who believed in Noah, because there's an opinion that the Sabi'ah also had a belief in Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. So what we have is that, and further than that, Allah says there's a way for you all in Surah 5 of the Quran. Go to Surah 5, my dear brothers and sisters at home. May Allah bless your fingers for flicking through the Quran from chapter to chapter. For the Quran, inshallah, may act as an intercessor to all of us, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 48. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. So here, لِكُلٍّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. We gave a sharia to all of you. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, if Allah wanted, لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah could have made you one ummah, but no, you've gone into different parts. So they say, look, here's another ayah. There's a way which has been made for what? A way which has been made for all of you people. Now, what have we seen? We've seen those who say, Baba, forget the labels. Forget the labels. All of these spiritualities and philosophies originate from one single metaphysical what? Origin. All these esoteric and exoteric paths that you see, whether you want to read Aquinas, whether you want to read Augustine, whether you want to read Tertullian, whether you want to go and read Confucius, whether you want to read Buddha, whether you want to read Krishna, whether you want to read others, for example, who have spoken about spirituality in their respective faiths, ultimately, all of their paths lead to one God. Therefore, don't worry, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, all of you are on the path of God. And I remember that you have some who would also mention something very clear. They would say at the end of the day, you cannot say Muslims are the only ones who are on the path of God. Why? There may be a Christian who is living in the Byzantine Empire. That Christian has heard two things. He's either never heard of Islam or he's heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is a liar. Therefore, how could you put this person in hell when Islam has not reached them? True? If I'm a Christian, I'm living in the Byzantine Empire, I've never heard anything about the Prophet that's good. All I hear is that he's the most evil person. And I've never met a Muslim. Imagine now, that's like somebody who lived in a time where their only concept of Islam was Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Would you become a Muslim? What if I live in the Amazon rainforest, for example, and I've never ever heard of the religion of Islam? So can we therefore say that only Islam is the way? There are some people who may follow a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've not heard of other paths. However, there are verses in which a person can use or explanations that reply back to these. Reply back to who? to those who say that it doesn't matter, you're Jewish, Hindu, Sikh, all of us will go to one path. As long as we believe in God, as long as we do good deeds, that's enough. How does the group reply to these? Let's start all over again. Come back. Surah 3, verse 19 is where we started. Do you all agree? Surah 3, verse 19, where we started, my dear brothers and sisters, we said that this verse was used for those who are pro-religious pluralism because the ayah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahil Islam. Verily, the religion with Allah is Islam. Said Mehsin, I said to you, those who are pro-religious pluralism, they use the word Islam in the verb. Those who are anti-religious pluralism, what will they use the word Islam in? The noun. They will say, Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahil Islam. Verily, the religion with Allah is a religion called Islam, no other religion. That's their first point. What's their second point? Their second point goes back to that verse where all the plurality of religions mentioned. Which verse? Surah 2, verse 62. Let's go back to Surah Al-Baqarah, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's go back because it's interesting to see the rebuttal. In this Quran, look how wonderful the discussions are that emerge. Are all the paths going to Allah? Are they all paths which are saved? In Surah 2, verse number 62, we said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We said, Inna al-ladhina amanu, those who believe. What is the rebuttal? وَالَّذِينَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا and the Jews. They said, yes, the Jews who were living in the time of Musa. If I was someone Jewish in the time of Musa, that person is the one this ayah mentions. Not today. That is the one who this ayah mentions. This ayah is saying that the Jew in the time of who? Musa. Inna alladhina hadu, those in the past who were Jewish. When Nasara, those Christians who were the true followers of Isa. Was-sabi'in, the Sabi'in who truly followed John the Baptist or followed the Noahide laws. They say that these people who say it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Christian or Sabian or Muslim, all paths go to God. They say, Baba, this is not about today. It's about those who came before Islam. If I was living, for example, in, let's say, Egypt, and I met Musa alayhi salam and I followed his path, this ayah saying that person who was Jewish, not somebody who has come later on, because everybody loves to judge whoever's come later on as if we're the masters of the day of judgment. But anyway, it says here, they say that look, this ayah is not today. You can't say someone's Jewish, Muslim, Christian, all of them will go to Jannah, all of them are going to go. No. Inna alladhina hadu. Inna alladhina amanu wal ladhina hadu, the Jews. Nasara, the Christians who believed. In what? In Jesus as a prophet of God. Sabi'in who believed. Men amana billahi from them, from those communities whoever believed in God. Wal yawmil akhir and the final day. Wa amila salihan. Always this amila salihan is vital in every religion. You can't just say, I believe in God, but your actions are the very opposite of what God wants. I've seen some actors in Hollywood. They are so strong in their religious belief, their films are completely opposite to what their religions teach. They say, no. All the world's a stage. We're just actors in these films. Ah, no. On Saturday, I go to the synagogue. Sunday, I go to the church. Friday, I go to the mosque. But you know, when we're in Hollywood, we're playing roles which are not us. Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? I'm not playing a role that's me. You know, normally I wouldn't be in a scene with somebody nude, both of us together like this. But this is only acting because it's a payday. Otherwise, I will go to the synagogue on Saturday. Don't worry, I will go to the mosque. I will go to the church. Baba, this whole world is a stage, but you're all players, and there's only one director, and that's God. Amal as-salih. The good deed is always with faith because it is the proof of your faith, isn't it, Yasir? Inna alladhina amanu walladhina hadu wasa wan nasara والصابئين من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم. The Jewish person with Nabi Musa, even after Nabi Musa, he held on to the faith of Nabi Musa. His ajr is with who? God. The Christian person who held on to Jesus being a prophet of God, not the son of God, maybe a Christian who went down a path where they rejected what Paul was pushing, that person, his reward is with God. A Sabi, for example, who went on a particular path, rejecting certain forms of gnosis or certain forms of irfan or certain forms of mystical teachings that were then introduced to the religion, that person. So what's their argument? Don't say anyone today. This is of those who came before. Furthermore than that, they go to a third argument. What is it? That Allah sometimes in the Quran himself makes clear. Whoever takes a religion other than the religion of Islam or a path other than the path of Allah, that is rejected. Where? Go back to Surah 3 verse 19 and 20 again, my dear brothers and sisters. I know I made you go back to this verse many times now in this episode. Surah 3 verse number 19 and 20. Now look. At the beginning it said in verse 19, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Verily the religion with Allah is Islam. One group said Islam, noun. Another said Islam, the verb. You moved on, but in the same ayah, وَمَخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah then makes it clear that those who the book had been given to did not differ, but after the truth had come to them out of envy amongst themselves. Therefore, Allah is showing that there were people besides Islam who started to differ with this teaching. Otherwise, if everybody is going to heaven, why mention that there are people envy amongst themselves and they have problems with each other? Every path goes to heaven. It doesn't matter if the Jewish or Christian or Muslim. Further than that, another point. What was the point of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming? What's the point? What's the need? Jews are going to go, everyone who's Jewish will be saved. Everyone who's Christian will be saved. So what's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to add? Further than that, why is the Prophet discussing or denying some things which other religions believe in if all paths are paths going to God? Christians believe in the crucifixion, that Jesus was on the cross? Yes. Why, O Prophet of God, are you discussing it and in some opinions completely denying it? Look in Surah 4, verse number 157, when it discusses the crucifixion, my dear brothers and sisters. Surah 4, verse 157, it discusses the crucifixion. I ask you, if Christians, Jewish, Muslim, if everyone's going on one path, so why would the Prophet discuss a belief of Christianity? Surah 4 verse 57, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They say that we killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it was made dubious to them. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍ مِّنْهِ. And indeed those who differ there are only in doubt about what they have no real knowledge about. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. They only follow conjecture. Because even amongst Christians, there's always been debates about the crucifixion and about the resurrection. And so therefore, if Christians, just by following what they follow, as long as they're spiritual, and Muslims who follow what they follow, if that's the case, then why are we discussing the crucifixion? What's the need? A Christian could have just followed the crucifixion. You're like, all paths lead to God. It doesn't matter. You can believe in the cross. I don't believe in the cross. You can believe Son of God. I don't believe in Son of God. Why discuss them in the Quran? If the idea is every person to their own, but you all go on one path, then why discuss this in the Quran? What's the need? Further than that, go back to Surah 3, verse number 85. So in Surah 3, verse number 85, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a clear verse over here. And that verse makes it clear for those who say that all the paths lead to God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, never shall it be accepted. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Next verse, كَيْفَ يَهْدِي. Look at this verse. How could Allah guide qawman kafaru ba'da imanihim? How does Allah guide a group of people who disbelieved after their belief? وَشَهِدُوا أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ حَقٌّ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Those who say that every path is a path to God, doesn't matter if you're Jewish, Christian, whatever, these two verses show that, number one, whoever takes a religion other than Islam, then what? He shall be amongst the losers. By the way, when I say all of this, I'm giving the arguments back and forth. I don't want to make a judgment against someone, because at the end of the day, there's only one master of the day of judgment. But you look in this particular ayah, what's it showing me? This ayah is clearly trying to show me that those who turn around and say that it doesn't matter what label you have, the ayah is saying, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whoever seeks a religion other than the religion of Islam, then it will not be accepted from him. And therefore, when we looked at that other ayah which said Jews, Christians, and Muslims, it indicated that those people who had believed in the religions of the prophets that had come to them, it is different when what happens. It is different from when a person has received the religion of Islam. If I've received the religion of Islam, and that's why we don't deny that those who've received the religion of Islam are different from those who haven't. Someone who has received an Islam of ISIS, of terrorism, of beheading, of killing, then that person, you cannot blame them for following what they'd follow. Because honestly, if that's the Islam that I received, I would not be a Muslim. I would not follow that religion. But when a person has heard about the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and he's seen the teachings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, then therefore that person in reality, although you cannot compel them to becoming a Muslim, and this is a fundamental point, I think there are people in the world today, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Sikh, whatever, there are people in the world today, they go to their grave, as long as they've read everything, they're certain of what they've read, they've researched everything, at the end they can face their Lord and say, I tried to read every bit of literature. That person I can never judge, I don't know their circumstances. Because the reality is, in the hereafter, only God knows who gets salvation or who doesn't. There are many Muslims who believe in all of these things, and they believe in the Quran. They may not get salvation. They may have oppressed the Quran. They may have oppressed the Prophet and his family. They may have hurt followers of the religion of Islam. So therefore, this idea that just because all religions may not lead to God means that only Muslims will go? No, nor do we go to that extreme. Yes, those who follow Islam in its true essence and implement it in their character, that is what the Quran is looking for. Therefore, when we come to the question of religious pluralism, my dear brothers and sisters, we see that in the Quran, one argument is an argument that the meaning of Islam is the verb, that anyone who submits, God will save them and offer them salvation. And the other argument, seemingly, is that there's a man by the name of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, who came with a message. Those who have heard the message, then it is up to them to submit or not, for there is no compulsion in religion. Thank you all. Join me tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.